I'm Alastair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tim Dillon Show. Great to be back with you here. Lots of fun being had by all. Great episode with Andrew Schultz out. If you haven't seen that yet, you should check that out. A lot of people enjoyed it. Thank you for the kind words. What is going on with these group texts? I'm telling you, and I've told you before, I'll tell you again. Get out of these group texts. They are fucking you up. They're fun when you're 23. As you get older, you have to extricate yourself from the group text, by the way. You have to severely limit your... or rather people's access to you as you get older. It's not a free-for-all anymore. It can't be. For your own sake, for your own safety, for the sake of your own mental health, you cannot just have unlimited access to you. You have to, it can't be, your phone cannot be going off every minute of every second. It will not work. You must limit the exposure. There's always someone in a group text who's way too into it. There's always someone in it who's not into it at all. There's always someone side texting you. There's always someone weirdly offended in a group text about something. And you're like, no, the whole point of a group text is to talk all kinds of shit that would get us thrown in jail if it were to ever leak. That's the point of a group text. But it's not fun. It's evidence. It's mountains and mountains of evidence on somebody's phone. Someone's always showing the group text to other people that are not in the text. I mean, there's legendary group texts. I've been a part of some of them, but at the end of the day, you got to get yourself out of them. You have to get yourself out before something like this happens. It's bound to happen. Now, I don't even know what this was. I don't even know if I believe what this is. That the national security advisor, this guy Mike Waltz, added Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic to a group text where Vance, Gabbard, Hegseth, and others on Signal were talking about military plans. Number one, why am I not in it? Why am I not in it? I'm friends with two out of those people. I'm friends with Vance and Gabbard. Why am I not in the text? I could be hilarious in it. All the time I'd be funny, and I wouldn't add anyone into it. Apparently, this journalist, Jeffrey Goldberg at The Atlantic, who's a massive, critic of the administration, is in this group text on Signal, and they're all texting the plans for the, the Houthis. We're bombing the Houthis, and I'm bullish on that. I like that because the thing about the Houthis is no one really cares. We're not committed. We're not going to be. The thing about, we need to bomb someone. We need it. We need it now. We've needed it. We need it. We'll need it in the future, always and forever. We need to be bombing someone. We just need to. There's nothing to do if we're not. There's nothing to do if we're not. The Pentagon's got a budget of like a quadrillion dollars. What do you do when you sit down to work on Monday morning? If you are not launching an attack at someone, there's genuinely nothing to do. There's nothing to do if you're not at war with someone somewhere. You gotta be. And the Houthis are a decent target because they move around a lot. They're on the sea. They're disrupting trade. They're doing things. They're like lovable little scamps. I mean, they're not lovable per se. But one of them, that hot one was. Remember the hot one? They compared to Chalamet, that guy. And they're doing a lot of stuff on social media, the Houthis. I think that's what they're mostly doing. I think they're just posting, really. I think they're more social media stuff than anything else. That's what they're really doing. They're out there like tagging shit. It's like old school graffiti, fuck you, down with Israel, stuff like that. I don't know what they're actually doing. Yeah, there's the hot one. There's the Chalamet one, you know. But that's where we're focusing our attention, is like blowing the shit out of them, because they are fucking some stuff up on the sea for like the Chinese and for us. And they're backed by Lebanon, I think. They're a militia, but not officially. Hezbollah is the real Lebanese militia. And the Houthis are, they're backed by Iran. And they're part of the Axis of Resistance. Good. God is great. God is the greatest. Death to America, death to Israel. Curse be upon the Jews. Victory to Islam is the main political slogan of the Houthi movement. So they're out there and they're, you know, some would say that's extreme. Some would say that view is extreme. And we're bombing them because they got to get bombed. You can't pop shit like that and not get bombed. You have to get bombed. That's our job. As much of a pass, I don't want to be in a war, but I want people to get bombed. That's the fact. And if you don't like it, then fuck you. I want people to get bombed, because without that, they will piss in our face. We have not made a good movie in fucking forever. We have nothing going on. We have to bomb people to just get attention now. There's nothing left. There's nothing left here in this country. So that's it. And if people pop shit, they have to get bombed. But we shouldn't commit troops. We shouldn't, no regime change. Stop building malls there. None of that works. Just bomb them from the skies. Rain hell on them. Whatever. It's fine. If they're good, they want it. They want it. That's the whole point of it all. They do that. We do that. It's a whole thing. It needs to happen. No one's suggesting that it's not happening. Everyone in this government's doing it. We'll do it. Bernie, AOC, you listening, if you were in it, everyone would do it. There's nothing else to do. What would you do? You'd get into the government. You'd go... You go to the government, you order lunch, they go, all right, that'll be here in about 45. You go, cool. You wash your hands a few times. Then you got to start drone striking people. There's nothing else to do. There is not one other thing to do at all except steal a little money from old people. They're running out of that. So you have to bomb people. And you got to talk about it with the other people in the government. Because that's literally your job. There's nothing else to do. Where's Frank? I don't know. We're bombing them at noon. And you go into the text and you go, we're triangulating on their position. We're going to bomb them. And then you eat a salad. You're eating a salad while you're doing this. You're texting the group chat about the bombings. The bomb, because there's no other way. Don't even imagine, don't even entertain there being another way. There's no other way. So you're bombing them, and it's, you're sitting at your desk, and you just ordered, and literally you look at your secretary and go, what is that salad I like? It's Mediterranean. It's from a Mediterranean. It's Mediterranean. That salad I like, but I don't want, they put too much onion. I don't want that. And then she orders it for you. And then in the group text, you say, we're going to bomb them at 2 a.m. our time. And, you know, so here's what it says, right? This is what the text says. VP, building collapse, had multiple positive ID. Pete, Carrilla, the IC, amazing job. J.D. Vance goes, what? I feel like he doesn't know what's going on. Michael, while typing too fast, the first target, their top missile guy, we had positive ID of him walking into his girlfriend's building and now it's collapsed. J.D. Vance, excellent. CIA director, a good start. Some other guy, Michael Waltz, fist, flag, fire. Good job, Pete and your team. Michael Walsh, the team in MAL did a great job as well. SM, great work all, powerful start. Pete Hegseth, might be drunk. CENTCOM was, is on point. Great job all, more strikes ongoing for hours tonight, and we'll provide full initial report tomorrow. But on time, on target, and good readout so far. Susie Wiles, Trump's chief of staff. Kudos to all, most particularly those in theater and CENTCOM. Really great, God bless. Steve Witkoff, that real estate developer who's trying to organize a Middle East peace deal. Prayer hands, muscle, two flags. TG, great work and effects. It's a group chat. It's all it is. It's just it's people at work. It's their job. That's all it is here. It's not, I'm telling you, the problem with everything now is that people are convinced that everything is really interesting. And it has layers of meaning and everything. And I'm a conspiracy guy. And I don't even think it's that interesting anymore. I think there's things that are interesting. Like there's evil people doing horrible things, largely for money and control and power. And to satisfy their Machiavellian urges and sexual desires and whatever. But this is just a group chat of people at work. And this is what the American government does, which is just bomb people constantly all day, every day. And what are we not going to bomb them? They're fucking with us. They're doing shit. So we're going to bomb them. Trump's right about that. Trump knows. Throw the bombs. Because otherwise, no one's doing anything. There's nothing to do. The government is not even real unless we're bombing. So it's not even a real thing. Like, yes, do I agree with all the Elon firings? No, I think some of them are sloppy. But here's the reality. A lot of it's just not even real. Like, these people don't have jobs and they don't even exist. They're not even real, and they're being paid for by tax dollars to create these things that aren't real, that don't exist. So in order for our government to exist, we have to start bombing people. And then people are going to talk about it. It's just like if you worked, you know, if you worked at Chipotle. Is it the L-E at the end? Because some people pronounce it the other way. I agree. It's Chipotle. You're texting about, you know, oh, fucking, you know, that she's a cunt, that dirty bitch. People are going to get sick when she touches their food and stuff. Because that's that business. They hire some skank who's touching the food, and you and your friends are in a group text talking about what a dirty hoe she is that she's touching the rice. That's this. That's all. That's what this is. That there isn't more to this. And then people are like, oh, well, people could have found out. Well, so what? So what? Would anyone be shocked if they found out that we were bombing people? I don't understand. I mean, yeah, I guess it's bad because then the people, we're going to bomb them. And you're saying, oh, yeah, but our enemies could have found this out and tipped them off that they were getting bombed. Yeah, maybe. So we bomb them again. We would just bomb them again. This should be public. This should not even be in a text. That group text should just be on Fox News as the one that goes, you know, that whatever it is on the bottom of the channel. It should just be that. Strike drones on target. Can you imagine all the boomers going nuts, getting excited, just sitting in their living rooms, eating lemon cake that their daughter brought them from Starbucks, and they're just going, the bombs are dropping! They're dropping a bomb! They're just all people. People just want to get involved. People just want to be involved. I'm not outraged by this. What are we outraged about? Did everyone just realize we've dropped bombs on everyone? Or did people text about it? It's their fucking job. That's all it is. There's nothing. Like, imagine a job review. He goes, what are you guys doing? They go, oh, we're just, are you not bombing anyone? No. What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, we got together and reviewed the intelligence and, well, we found out that, yeah, and we're going to bomb them. Right. That's all there is to do. There's nothing else to do. That's the whole reason the government exists. That's it. It's to give people Social Security so I guess they don't have to eat cat food or whatever. and to bomb people. I just like these Houthis. I think this is good to bomb because we can't go to war with Iran. It's just sticky and messy. And they have allies like China and Russia. But no one cares about the Houthis. The Houthis are an expendable group of people who are just out there. And Iran doesn't really care about them. They just go, yeah, fuck shit up. And then you'll get bombed by America. And Iran's like, they're not going to bomb us. They bomb you. And the Houthis, this is all part of the show and part of the fun. You need groups like this, Al-Qaeda, ISIS. You need them. You need these groups of radical psychopaths who do stuff, and then we bomb them. It's the only thing, truly, that we really understand. Everything else is kind of this weird black box of, like, what are we doing? This is cut and dry. They pop shit on social media. They're all on social media popping shit. They're talking mad shit. And we're just bombing them. What are they doing? The Suez Canal? They're fucking around there in the Suez Canal? Yeah, because as much as we talk about it, we can't go fuck up Greenland. All those people are white. So we're not going to go kill a bunch of white people in Greenland. What are we going to go into Denmark and start throwing clogs around? It's not going to happen. We got to bomb these people, the Houthis, because they're somewhere in the sea. How great is that? They're just in the sea, starting shit.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Speaking of bombs, this Snow White, get this Zegler video up. These movies, you got to stop making these big budget movies, by the way. You have to stop doing it. You have to stop with these big budget movies. A Hollywood Reporter just came out and said, Gen Z is no longer watching this type of entertainment. They're all watching social media creators, YouTube, whatever. Now, by the way, the Hollywood Reporter came out with that last week. They should have written that article in 2012. But they're behind. That should have came out like 2014. It came out last week. They're like, do you know that Gen Z is, they don't value this stuff. They like the internet. It's like, guys, how behind are you? But they're all invested in believing that big bloated corpse of an industry is going to continue. They have a mutual investment in it. Part of the problem is that they come up with these movies like Snow White. They ruin the movie. And then you have this bitch. I mean, these are when actors and actresses talk, you realize that they're the biggest losers in the world. Now, the reason that we can tolerate that is because we don't know that. They read words written by other people. And all of their appearances are carefully managed and choreographed. But when they go off book and they start telling us who they are, we realize they suck and we hate them. And that's what's really destroying Hollywood. Sure, there's a million reasons. But the biggest thing, these people, when just given the chance, completely fuck everything by talking. And if they would just shut their mouth, no one is asking these people to talk. No one is pleading with them for their opinions on anything. No one cares. But they feel compelled because they're watching the people on the internet talk and get a following, being authentic, being themselves, or being some version of themselves, or whatever. That being said, these people go, oh, I'll do that. I'll weigh in. And they make a big mess. and everybody hates it. Now let's watch Rachel Zegler here. It's cocky. It's humorless. It's everything wrong with everything. Let's watch it.
And to everyone who hates when I win.
Oh my God.
The winged victory came to the Louvre in pieces.
What?
And people still line up to see her.
Oh no.
And I can only hope that despite my flaws, and despite my cracks and my breaks, and there are many of them, that at every premiere, and everything I do, people will wait in line to see.
Yeah, I mean, someone has to put her in a cage. Someone has to put her in a cage. I mean, there's no other way to say it. She should not be allowed out if she's going to behave like this while she has a movie out. You have to put these people in a cage. If you are not, if you cannot keep your mouth shut, you have to get locked in a cage until we put a lot of money into this film. We put a lot of money into this film, and if you cannot participate in the promotional rollout, we're putting you in a cage. We're locking you in a room until you learn how to be, with all my flaws, I hope at every premiere, people buy tickets. They're all crazy. They're all psychotic. It's insane. They're all little Hitlers. Despite my flaws, I hope at every premiere. It's like, I mean, just, it's they're always acting. They're not humans. They're not people. They must be put in a cage for their own good. For their own good. Here's the guy whose dad produced a movie. You really want to do this? Yeah, my dad, the producer of enormous piece of Disney IP with hundreds of millions of dollars on the line, had to leave his family to fly across the country to reprimand his 20-year-old employee for dragging her personal politics into the middle of promoting the movie, which she signed a multi-million dollar contract to get paid and do publicity for. This is called adult responsibility and accountability, and her actions clearly hurt the film's box office. Free speech does not mean you're allowed to say whatever you want in your private employment without repercussions. Tens of thousands of people worked on that film, and she hijacked the conversation of her own immature desires at the risk of the blah-bitty-blue. But here's the point. He's right. Shut up in the thing. You're Snow White. You're not going to save Gaza. I'm not saying she's wrong about everything she says. I don't know what she, I don't care. But you're not going to do it. You're just Snow White, and it's fake. You're actually not even her. She doesn't exist. You don't have any powers to save these people who are hurting. And this idea that you, like, need to speak up, it does, it's not, you don't. You actually don't. You can just shut the fuck up. You can keep your mouth shut immediately. That's what I would say. I would say the movie's coming out now, and I put everyone in, I would get everyone in an office, and I would say, hi, so we spent all this movie on Snow White. We spent all this money on this movie, Snow White, and it's about to come out. And if you open your mouth at all about Gaza, okay, or about trans suicide, I'm gonna come and I'm gonna kill you. I'm gonna come to your house, I'm gonna kill you. Do you understand that? I'm gonna come to your house and I'll kill you. If you talk about trans kids hanging themselves or Gaza in the middle of the Snow White rollout, the production, here's what I want you to talk about. I love the movie. It's beautiful. What a story. And I'm so glad we get to retell it and reintroduce it to a whole new generation of children. And then I know you're going to want to say more. I know you're going to want to say more, and you're going to go, and speaking of children, and I'm going to go, ep, 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 shut up. Shut up. Speaking of children, shut up. Andrew Tate, they're saying he strangled his girlfriend at the Beverly Hills Hotel. I was there that week. I heard nothing. If he sends me crypto, I'll be a character witness for him. Truly, I'll be a character witness for him. If he sends me crypto, I will say I was there. It didn't happen. She's a liar. I hate lying. Okay? Yeah. One of Andrew Tate's girlfriends has accused a self-proclaimed misogynist of choking her so hard during rough sex inside the Beverly Hills Hotel that she later alerted authorities. Oh, enough. You're very lucky to get choked at the Beverly Hills Hotel. You're very lucky to get choked at the Beverly Hills Hotel. I think it's the entitlement that people have. That ain't a cheap room. That ain't a cheap room to get choked at in. When you were getting choked at the Beverly Hills Hotel, you were getting choked at one of the top properties on the planet. I don't know why he doesn't go to Dubai. I don't know what he's getting into here. This is not going to be good for him. Go to Dubai. Go to Dubai. Choke in Dubai. I don't understand. I don't understand why you wouldn't just go choke people in Dubai.
Hi, I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with political currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Tufts University graduate student grabbed off the street by federal immigration officers. This is part of this new push to, like, disappear these people that were participating in these campus protests. Let's take a look at this. I'm not for this. I also am not for, I wasn't, let's go, let's, no one asked, no, I didn't vote on letting any of these people into the country. No one did, by the way. But I'm certainly not for removing people that have a differing opinion. That is free speech. I don't think that's the right way to go. Do I think it's a problem that we have a lot of foreign students in America and we don't care about the American ones? Yes, absolutely I do. But let's watch this disappearance. Is this being done for America or for Israel? I mean, this is a fair question. Is the United States government now just taking edicts and orders from Israel? I think it's a fair question to ask. Is this, does anyone feel safer with this woman off the streets? Is this the American government's, is this what people voted for when they elected Trump, is to have a country taking orders from Israel? I don't think so. And now, I'm sure me and this woman would disagree on lots of things. And I'm very, very much a proponent of strict, tight immigration controls. But she's a legal U.S. resident. She participated in pro-Palestinian protests as a legal U.S. resident. Her arrest follows the White House's crackdown on what it is classified as anti-Semitism on U.S. campuses. What is this? And does anyone feel uncomfortable with this? Does anyone feel weird that anti-Semitism can now get you deported if you are a legal U.S. citizen? Is that odd? What other isms are coming? I don't understand this. I think people that commit crimes, it's a different story. But to speak out against an ally of America should not be grounds for someone to be deported. And we look right now like we are doing this at the behest of Miriam Adelson and the big billionaire donors that have been very good to both parties in America. I couldn't think of anything that would feed Jewish conspiracy theories more than this, by the way. I could not think of it. If you wanted Jewish conspiracy theories to kind of, slow down, I don't know if this was helping. I don't know. If you think Israel has too much influence in our country, is this helping correct that belief? Asking. Just throwing it out there. Would this be the way, if people say to you, hey, Israel runs America through donors, and you say that's silly and absurd and ridiculous, does this happening make people more or less, do they dig their heels into that belief more or less? That, by the way, remember when for like 4 years you could say anything about white people? Anything. Kill them. How about we genocide the whites? Fuck white men. They should die. Let's deny them health care. But there was a few campus protests for like a month. And now they're like deporting students. There was like years and years of shitting on whitey. And then no one really cared. No one's getting deported. What about the people that said negative things about, other countries? I mean, will you get deported if you criticize, if you're racist against Filipinos? Because I have been. And it's only because my godson, they told me he was Chinese because he was so little I couldn't tell. And I said, I will pay for his school. And then now he's Filipino. But I didn't know that at the time. And I would not have gotten involved. No shade. I just want high end. Chinese, Japanese. That's it. Now, I don't live in fear of being deported because I've said things about Filipinos. And I don't think I've even said anything terrible. But does it seem odd to anyone that people are being put in detention for being anti-Semitic? Is that good? Do we think that's good? I don't know. I'm a gay person. If someone was homophobic, I wouldn't want them deported. Is that grounds for deportation? If someone said, I hate gay people, I'd say, okay. But is that grounds for them to be deported? Doesn't this feel like it's going to a bad place? Does it feel good? Does it feel good? It feels a little bit like we're doing this at the behest of billionaire Israeli donors. No? Yes? Perhaps? I support Israel's right to exist. I don't agree with a lot of these kids at the colleges with a lot of what they're saying. I think they're silly. They're kids. Some of them have some points. But a lot of them are saying things that I, too, would disagree with. The colonization crap and the blah-bitty-blue and the this and the that and stolen land and the land acknowledgement and America's this and that. I don't have any time for that. I don't have any time for that. This land was stolen fair and square. You steal it back, idiot. It's the way land is transferred. It's called stealing it. How do you think land people get it? You steal it. Okay? But I just think, you know, because I try to calm these conspiracies down. I have some anti-Semitic friends. I'm going to be very honest with you. I have, I don't know. I don't even know how many. I would say not a ton of them. Not a ton of my friends, but a chunk of them are anti-Semitic. A chunk of them, not a ton of them. 65%. 65% are maybe anti-Semitic. 65%. Mildly. 70% of my friends are anti-Semitic. And I tell them, I sit down with them, I go, you're wrong. It's not the way you think it is. But things like this, I don't know. It's hard for me because I'm always trying to correct them. They go, don't you think Israel has too much influence in America? And I go, how dare you say, you prove it. And then they start proving it. And I go, la, 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 la. So. The point is, we gotta just stop with the nonsense. I probably hate that bitch. Not even for political views. I don't like most people. I just think, and who's the other guy? Mahmoud?
Khalil?
I'm anti-immigration. I'm Young Bannon. That's my rap name in the underground scene. But I think we need to chill it out. Let's get Americans up. Everyone's up. Everyone's not up. Lots of people are down. And we got to get them. I'm not for bringing, but look at this bitch. Am I scared of this bitch? Let's get that up. We're deporting her. Let's hear what Marco Rubio says. Now, the reason I like him is because he was gay and he went to foam parties in Miami. I read it on a thing. Get it up. Let's go. That's where you're in the foam and you jerk someone off in the foam. Keep going. I'm sorry. It's a Secretary of State Marco Rubio. When you're in the foam, you can suck someone in the foam. Secretary of State.
We revoked her visa.
He went to a bar where they would put foam in the back of it and people would fuck in the foam. Marco Rubio, Secretary of State.
To the U.S.
We revoked her visa. We gave you a visa to come and study and get a degree.
Not have opinions about the Jews.
To tear up our university campuses.
During the campaign, President Trump promised.
Is that Miriam Adelson? Interesting. She looks like a Sacha Baron Cohen character. Yeah, listen, and I went to one of these encampments and everyone took photos with me and was very nice to me.
Protests on campuses where some Jewish students reported being harassed and assaulted.
If you hate America.
Yeah, I don't think that we should be kicking these students out, and I don't like them. But I'm just saying, if we want to correct this idea that Israel has too much influence and power in this country, if we want to correct it, stop it dead in its tracks, okay? If we want to shut that down, I think this is the wrong way to do it. It's the wrong way to do it. Because I have friends, and they're wrong about it. And then I tell them, and they say to me, they go, Israel has too much, their lobby is too strong and too powerful, and it's actually causing the United States government to do things that are not good. And then I go, yeah, well, show me some facts. And then they go do that, and I go, and I will always love you. I will always love you. I will always love you. then I say, what were you saying? I didn't hear you. I was singing I Will Always Love You by the late, great Whitney Houston. But Dolly Parton first, let's be honest. Figure it out.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
United Kingdom outlaws the non-domicile tax law. United Kingdom has announced it will scrap a 225-year-old rule that has allowed many of its richest residents to pay hardly any taxes on their vast foreign earnings. You live in the UK, you have a business in somewhere else, Kazakhstan, India, whatever, you're making money, they want you to pay taxes in the UK. Smart people, who I disagree with all the time, like Scott Galloway and Kara Swisher are out there going, Scott Galloway's going, well, a lot of my friends are leaving the UK because you're and I go, yeah, because they're being taxed and they don't want to pay these taxes, so they're leaving, and I'm sure that's true. But also, Scott, but don't you understand why you can't create something that isn't a country? None of those people feel, they're not living in the UK because they care at all about the culture of England. They see it only as a financial opportunity. And when Steve Bannon says, that's no good, you all go, hey, he's a fascist, Nazi, racist fat. But the reality is, if you look at a country as only an economic zone, then if taxes go up, you get the fuck out. This is why you can't destroy a common culture and replace it with a financial architecture so that people are only participating in an economy and not an actual country that has an actual culture. I'm not saying these taxes are just or unjust, but if taxes are the only policy you're thinking about in a country, I'm not saying they're unimportant, they're incredibly important. But this idea, these are the same people that when I listen to them, they talk endlessly about the dangers of nationalism. The dangers of seeing a country as a nation that has a distinct history and culture. Doesn't mean that it's racial. Doesn't mean that it's religious. It shouldn't be. But it's a distinct idea of what a culture is. And the idea that the UK has completely thrown that out. They don't care about it at all. They opened their door. London opened their doors. They said every billionaire, every oligarch, come on in. That's why I disagree a little bit with the Trump's, the golden visas, where it's like 5 million you spend, you buy the visa. People that are spending that kind of money, yes, they have the financial wherewithal to be here in America. Maybe they're creating jobs and opportunities. I'd be for it if, like, it was like, build a factory here, you get citizenship, or invest a certain amount of money here, you get citizenship. But the reality is, rich people just existing in a country doesn't necessarily make it better unless they feel some connection to it. If they don't feel a connection to the country at all, and it is simply a landmass, when taxes go up, they'll leave. And the people that Galloway's talking about, because my friend's going to live in Spain or Italy or whatever, wherever they're fleeing to or going because they don't want to pay the taxes. It's, yes, are the taxes silly, ridiculous? Perhaps. You have high taxes there. But one of the reasons that this is very easy for people to do is just go, goodbye, is because the super rich no longer care about any nation state. It does not matter to them. Their only loyalty is to a financial system that they can suck as much money out of as they can. It's lovely in Italy. It's fine in France. And, you know, they'll make it work. They'll figure it out. They're going to live well wherever they go. So you have to stop seeing any discussion of nationalism and of culture as some type of Hitlerian dog whistle. It's not. It's absolutely not. We can discuss the merits of Hitler. It's a different conversation. I'm kidding. But the point is this. All these people that don't seem to understand what happens when you take away a culture, whatever that culture happens to be, people think culture is all race or all religion. A lot of it is customs and traditions, civic institutions, expressions of, the way people celebrate holidays and seasons and whatever. And when you destroy, and some of that's based in religion, some of it's based in race, not all of it. People from all over the world celebrate holidays. People from all over the world celebrate certain civic milestones in specific ways in specific countries. It might be having a siesta. You know, it might be like whatever culture is, but when you import people from all over the world who don't respect the culture of an area and don't care about it, doesn't mean anything to them. They are only there to suck money out to put their kids in good prep schools that you cannot afford to send your kids to. And then the minute it gets harder for them to exist, they get up and leave. They get up and leave. So, you know, I think there has to be a recognition and an understanding of the fact that, like, while we shouldn't be deporting the chick at Tufts, you know, because that's not what we should be doing, we also need to let her know that she's not here to make America into whatever she thinks it should be. That's the reality. Sorry. It's not, you're not here to do that. Just like my grandparents weren't here to do that when they came from Ireland. They were here to exist within a culture and do very well and my grandfather was very successful in that culture because he came and embraced it. And that's what people should be doing to come here from other places. And she kind of was embracing our culture, like throwing tantrums and kind of being somewhat fat. But I do think there's got to be a non-racist way to say, just shut up and be like us. There has to be a non-racist way to say, you have to act like everyone else. There has to be a non-racist way to say, stop being different. There has to be a non-racist way to say, enough with your own bullshit. Fall in line. I went to a furniture store the other day, and a guy said to me, that table's 80 grand. I said, well, that's way out of my budget. He goes, it's rosewood. It's Brazilian rosewood. He goes, you can't get rosewood anymore because they won't allow the trees to get cut down anymore because of the deforestation and the whole thing. He goes, so people will pay so much for fucking real rosewood. That's what it's about. It's not about the Middle East all the time. And you know, it's not. It's about that. Life is precious and rare and fleeting. So we shouldn't be disappearing these people. Because I don't want to keep having these arguments with my friends where they're like, everyone in the government is like crazy Zionist. And, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's not true. I'm like, name the people that are. And then they start to do that. And I'm like, I come from a land down under. You know, it's just, I don't want to have to keep having these conversations. On a hippie trail, head full of zombie. They're like, are you going to listen or not? I met a strange lady. She made me breakfast, or it made me nervous. She took me in and gave me breakfast. I don't know. Is this a dangerous person? Are her ideas maybe not great? I don't know. Yeah, it's probably a lot of Kill Whitey in there. She's probably got a lot of Kill Whitey going on. You know, but are we going to, I don't think we should throw her in the truck. Make her work at the mothership. Make her work at the mothership. Don't deport these people. Make them work at the mothership. Let them see the best of America.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
People are now paying for DoorDash with installment loans. This is the hell we're in. This is the hell that the economy's gotten to. Eat now, pay later. DoorDash Klarna deal fuels concerns about loans for takeout. These fatty bunbatties cannot afford a Crunchwrap. They are literally putting it on layaway. The food delivery app and the installment lender say they're offering a flexible alternative to high interest credit cards. Some social media users and advocates see it as a sign of hard times. Yeah, it's a sign of hard times if you're financing a panini. Yeah, of course it is. Of course it's. Who are the people who don't see it as a sign of hard? I love how they're like, some people think it's a sign of hard times. Yeah, everyone. Anyone that you would tell this to thinks it's a sign of hard times. Who's celebrating this? Who thinks it's a good idea that you have to pay for a burrito in installments? I mean, who thinks that's great? A Klarna spokesperson acknowledged the online pushback, but said any form of borrowing for food purchases is potentially concerning depending on the circumstances. Quote, if people are in a situation where they feel like they have to put their food on credit, that's a bad indicator for society, the spokesman said. Still, many people make, quote, a rational decision to use BNPL services to help manage their money, the spokesperson said, adding that the new features would be available only for DoorDash purchases of at least $35, a few dollars more than the platform's average order as of last March. Wherever high-cost credit cards are accepted, consumers should be able to choose a zero-interest credit product instead. Indeed, industry-wide data shows the short-term loans have become a routine feature of many consumers' wallets, particularly among young adults coping with inflation. So here's what they're saying. Order at least 35, and then you can pay. So not only are they incentivizing financial irresponsibility, they're incentivizing being a pig. That's what they're doing. They go, get the cake. Get the piece of cake for $6.99. It's going to take you over 35. Then you charge this whole thing. You finance it. You finance the whole thing. Get extra. Get another sandwich. You might want another sandwich. It's fine. Keep the more food you buy, the better deal you get. You could just finance it. Who cares? A spokesman for DoorDash didn't comment on the criticism of its partnership with Klarna, saying their collaboration provides even more flexibility, control, and options. The delivery service noted that its users can already pay with Venmo and Cash App, as well as government aid, including SNAP benefit. DoorDash doesn't care. It's not their job. DoorDash goes, listen, man. You're a middleman. DoorDash is a middleman. Trim middleman. Hey, piggy pigs. Burrito there, you here. We got a guy gonna get it to you. Well, it's what it is. They're not making four payments to cover three tacos on Tuesday. Sounds complicated because it is, said Adam Russ, director of financial services at the Consumer Federation of America and advocacy group. I wouldn't characterize this as a solution. It's a fintech innovation that creates problems. Hey, Adam, fuck off. We're hungry and broke. Fuck you, Adam. So what? Why not? Charge it. Fuck it. Go back. You people that go, why'd you go bankrupt? You go DoorDash. I ran up. I owe $80,000 to DoorDash. We're going to run into that. People are going to go, I owe $70,000 to DoorDash because I charged food for the last 3 years to survive. And I can't do it. Now I'm on disability because I've eaten so much DoorDash, I can't even participate in the workforce. So now I'm in a scooter that needs to be paid for by disability, and I owe $75,000 for DoorDash. But by the way, a lot of people, and I get it, I've been in that position where you just don't have the fucking money. People don't have the money. You know? That's what it is. People need to eat. They don't have the money. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You could go to a store, I guess, and cook it. That's not American. It's not American. Think about being broke and cooking, how depressing that is. Think about being poor and in your kitchen with the thing like this, with the pan. It's not American. America is about being a delusional psychopath. It's like, that's what it's about. It's not about being a rational person that makes, America's about being a nut job all the time. So like you order burritos, you charge them, you scream and yell in your house, you live stream to no one, I'm fucking, you coach, you become a life coach, you tell them that they don't know, be like, it's all about the hustle, it's about the grind, they can't see that you're living in squalor, your own filth, you know. You're like, yeah, fuck yeah, man. I'm going to fucking crush it today. Monday, coffee. Yeah, the coffee. I got the coffee in my mouth. And then you go nuts. And then you order a burrito. And then they charge it. And then you fucking completely, you're 40 grand in debt. You try to change your name. You cut your cock off. You throw it in the street. You become trans. You're like, I don't owe that fucking money. You go, I think you do. And you go, stop dead naming me. You attack a TSA agent. You bite him in the neck at LaGuardia. That's what being an American is. It's not making eggs in Europe. What? That's not it. Being an American is about going into debt, developing an alternative persona, becoming trans, and then attacking a TSA agent on drugs. Get up, Dank DeMoss. Get up, Dank DeMoss. Dank DeMoss is all of us. All of us are Dank DeMoss. They came for Dank DeMoss, and I said nothing. And then... And then no one let me in a car when I became 600 pounds. Dank DeMoss. This is the evidence. She's showing that she can get in a car.
See me last time I went to cop me at Durango, thanks to Al.
Woman. There she goes. That's what America's about. I showing someone I can get in a car. Don't you dare deport Dank DeMoss. Don't you dare deport Dank DeMoss. I don't care what she says. That's an American person. She's already been approved for the DoorDash card. She has a gold card. She's platinum. Dank DeMoss is platinum. DoorDash, platinum. Yeah, get a little heat. Let's hear a little heat. Oh!
Why hoes be mumbling? Pay fat queen. These bitches under me. Worry about who? Which one gon' bother me? I done lost my mind. I think I left it at home. I ain't fighting to the top. I
Young DoorDash.
I've been chosen again. If she wants more, she a fan. If I lose $20, I'm just gonna up shit again. I be mentoring these bitches when I rap, it makes sense. Bitch, I made it on my own. Y'all had to suck three dicks. I ain't jumping for these niggas, and I stand on that shit. I can outsmart
this
a killer.
This is the United States. It's a beautiful country. Get it out of here. It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful country. It's a beautiful country. And why shouldn't you be able to DoorDash a burrito in this country? In this country? Why not? They're DoorDashing burritos while bombing people in a group text. Why would you not be able to do that? TimDillonComedy.com. We have no shows on sale. Fuck off. New special coming out April 16th, shooting a crazy promo for it. This weekend, we moved our Raleigh dates to May because we're shooting an insane promo this weekend. I'll just say it's one of the awesomest things ever. And it'll come out special on Netflix. Really great, great time we had at the Mothership. This is a special I'm proud of. I really love it. And thanks to Joe Rogan for letting me doing it. Thanks for, obviously letting us use the club. Thanks to everyone who came out. It was an amazing weekend of shows. And that'll drop April 16th on Netflix. The streaming service Netflix. We'll be back out on the road, you know, late this year, early next year in some theaters and having some fun. But, you know, we'll just be hanging out on the internet, and we appreciate everybody. And let's have Dank DeMoss play us out a little bit here. Dank DeMoss.
Ain't talking about shit. Why hoes be mumbling? Pay fat queen. These bitches under me. Worry about who? Which one gon' bother me? I done lost my mind. I think I left it at home. I ain't fighting to the top.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest Is Politics.
Anish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster. It's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.